Today is Tuesday, May 12th, 1998. I am interviewing Mr. Paul Bigney in his offices. How far back do you go with the market?
About 1943.
About 1943. At which time, what was your relationship there?
My father was part owner in the United Public Markets and the big chief on
Okay.
Any street.
Mm-hmm. Your father was involved in the big chief?
Yes.
Okay. We interviewed Maurice Trudell, and he also was involved with big chief, I understand.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Did you ever go to the market itself with your father?
I used to work there.
Before?
United Public.
But I mean at the market, no, I meant the downtown market, the produce market is what I'm interested in first.
I was the accountant for a few concerns there.
Okay, may I ask which ones?
Tomato.
Mm-hmm, that's Salvinge.
Right. And Feinberg.
And Feinberg. When did Feinberg take over?
It took over from Zeldis right about 1950, the year I graduated.
He took over in 1950. Before it was Jake Zeldis, was that it?
No, right after Jake Zeldis.
But before it was Feinberg, it was Jake Zeldis.
Yes.
What did Jake Zeldis do? I mean, what was his...
He was the owner of the company. He was cashier. He wasn't buying.
Did he have a particular line of produce? That's what I'm trying to get at. Mm-hmm. Okay. And... So you were the accountant for Feinberg and for Vinci.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what can you tell me about your early recollections of the market? And then we'll talk about Big G. What was it like? I mean, was it quiet? Was it? Were there any other Jewish wholesalers there that you know?
No.
Nathan. Nathan,
right.
Yeah.
But I had very little.
Okay. Very good. Now, your father was in the market business.
United Public Markets.
Your horse today.
Look at this, sold at 10 cents.
Yeah. This is great. What was this? Who put this out? Oh, the 50s, the Pawtucket Times.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? Now, this was from in Providence, though, wasn't it?
No. United Public was on Elmwood Avenue where Reservoir comes together.
Yeah.
And then they were in Pawtucket, of course, from the City Hall.
103 Exchange Street.
Right.
I can see it. There's there's the ad right there.
They were on Socket. They were in Worcester and Wakefield.
So it was the whole chain. And your father was one of the owners,
yes.
Along with?
My uncle.
Who was?
Sam Shore.
Sam Shore,
deceased.
Yeah.
Dudley Block and Sam Ress.
Dudley Block and Sam Ress.
Yes.
Oh, that's Barbara Levine's father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And how did they form this relationship, this partnership?
Well, it started on Broad Street. They had a small, no, let me go back. My uncle started off in a pushcart.
That's Sam.
That's Sam. Then he opened up a store on Broad Street. It got busy. Then my father came in. Then they started opening up this chain.
Okay. Let me just stop this for a second. So Sam started as a peddler.
Right.
And you? Your father, I mean. Was he also a peddler?
No, he came in on the Broad Street market.
Okay, and what did he do before that?
He was a barber.
He was a barber, and his name was?
Benjamin Bigney.
Benjamin Bigney, okay, uh-huh, all right.
Okay.
Yeah, and so he just went into the produce business because Sam was there and who taught him. Now, was he in produce or was he in the canned goods line?
No, he was in both.
In both, uh-huh.
And he operated a small store, you do everything.
True. True, but I have to get these things out for, you know, for everything else. Okay, how long were they in business together?
Oh, about 40 years.
40 years? So it was from About the 1930s?
1930 to about 70, roughly.
Uh-huh.
And then Sam retired and my father retired for 1 year.
For 1 year? And?
Retiring, that was too much, and went into the plastics business.
Oh, okay. Sam didn't do too well in retirement.
He passed away.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember he was very ill at the end.
That's why your husband and myself, we didn't retire.
That's right. That's exactly right. I remember what happened to all of them. Okay. So you worked in the store, did you?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like? Describe
well,
it.
Well, I started off at 25 cents an hour. That was the prevailing wage. Then I stacked counters, brought merchandise up from the cellar, and again, put it up on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked as a stock boy beside the cashier, and I packed goods for the customers.
So no preference was given to you as the owner's son or nephew or
no,
friend?
No.
No. Okay. So you were just another employee there working for your 25 cents.
Right. And I was thankful to get it.
Without that, you couldn't. When did you go to work for them?
About 43.
About 1942, 43? Okay. And you continued on until you graduated with your degree,
right,
and became an accountant. Uh-huh. Okay. It was a long day.
Mm-hmm.
How long?
About
8 hours.
8 hours? Yeah, 7, 8 hours.
That's all. They weren't open late?
I couldn't work.
You came in under the provisions of the child labor law. Okay. But what were the hours of the store?
Don't remember.
You don't remember. Okay. And, well, it's an interesting ad. I don't know if we can reproduce it or not because it belongs to the newspaper, but it's great. If we had the original, we probably could. You know what? May I borrow this and I'll return it to you on Thursday?
Definitely. I don't want to lose this.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're welcome to it.
No. Knew Pawtucket, may she rest in peace, knew Pawtucket like the back of her hand, and she knew everybody in Pawtucket.
Pawtucket used to be nice.
It was lovely.
I remember your father-in-law's store. I was doing his books then.
Mm-hmm.
We had a few theaters down in the city, the Strand. Well, there was one right across from the office because I was against the river at that time. And it was active. Today there's no one there.
No, it's dead.
Dead.
Tell me, this Joseph Shore, who was in the wholesale produce business many, many years ago when the market was at Market Square, that's not related. Was he related to Sam?
In some way he was related. He went to the banana business, didn't he?
I don't know. He had something originally at Market Square, maybe over here at this market, too. I don't know.
Shore. In, opposite the outlet company.
That was the Market Basket, I think it was called.
Or, right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a cousin, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if it's the same family.
But I think Joe Shore might have been the one that went into the banana business.
Wholesale bananas?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. We'll have to see if we can find something about him. All right. Anything else you want to tell us about the produce business?
No. Great in those days.
How did the Feinbergs get into business?
Eddie went into business. He bought out Jake Zeldis because he wanted to retire.
Jake wanted to retire.
Yes. Then he brought in David.
Now, did David have any experience at all in the business?
He was long-haul trucking, if I remember correctly. And he took him off the road and brought him in.
Dave used to drive a truck then?
Yes.
Was Eddie working for Jake Zeldis before he bought him out? You have no idea when he went to work.
No.
And so he was the one with the experience of the produce business.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have the feeling, the sense, and I may be wrong, and I never did ask Warren about this, that Jake Zeldis did a lot of onion business, that his specialty was onions.
I wasn't familiar with his operation.
Uh-huh.
I came in, Eddie bought him out, He was looking for an accountant. He asked his friend, Rodman, who was working for the Big Bear.
Yeah.
For an accountant. He recommended me, and I've been in the business ever since.
Ever since with
yeah.
him. Mm-hmm. Okay. You say you worked at the Big Chief as well as
mm-hmm.
as the United Public.
Right.
What was different about the Big Chief? Big Chief, I should say. It was an entirely different kind of an operation.
All the United Public had was the grocery section there.
Uh-huh.
The rest was independents. So he only worked in the
groceries.
Grocery at that time.
So in other words, everything within the Big G was rented out or leased, I should say.
To my knowledge. Yes.
To your knowledge, it was. So that you had only that particular section that was what your father was involved with, was the groceries. Okay. Is there anything else you can tell me about the produce business that you remember or that was, even as far as Sal Vinge is concerned, his, now I don't mean his personal business, I'm not talking about that, but I mean what the day was like or what kind of products he brought in or how...
Well actually, I miss the good old days very much.
Yeah, why?
Huh?
What was good about the good old days?
We're getting older.
Besides that, now you're getting better, Paul.
No.
Well, there must have been something about it that made it more appealing than now.
I'd rather be what I'm doing now than what I did before.
I can't get you to commit yourself to anything.
In what respect?
No, I mean, you said you preferred those days. That what was it about there, the market itself, besides the fact that you may or may not have had clients or, you know, that you don't have them now, or you do have them, I don't know, that's not privileged information. But, I mean, you talk about how it was
mm-hmm.
in comparison to how it is now.
Well, I have no knowledge of what's going on.
All right, but
now.
Until Feinberg sold out, do you know about that, up until that
I'm
time?
I'm familiar with it, right.
Yeah, what was the difference between then and almost now?
Well, then you had a lot of small vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was making a living. And today it seems to be consolidation. And you get the big ones and the small ones are going out of business.
Do you have a sense it was livelier then? More interesting, more people involved? Not just
there
as vendors.
There were more people, yes.
As buyers as well as sellers.
Right. Used to be able to go down the market at Prominent Street
mm-hmm.
and buy everything you wanted. Today you got to go into Boston.
Did they sell to your knowledge, did they sell to someone off the street or was strictly to the trade?
Both.
They did both?
Yes.
There was no anger at their selling to people off the street?
Right. And they had different prices.
Uh-huh. I see.
What they sell to you for, they wouldn't sell to me for. I could go up and down either way.
Okay. Do you miss the produce, the food business at all?
Not too much, no.
No? It was difficult?
Yeah.
Okay. Did your father miss being in business? Did he miss the food business when he retired?
No, not a bit. He just got sick of retirement.
And he went into another business?
A plastics business, which happened to be United Plastics.
Same name.
Same name.
How did he happen to find plastics business? If you don't mind my asking.
No,
if you don't
I don't mind a bit. My father was sick of retirement. He knew a man in the business. He bought out his share. The other man retired, and my father took over.
Uh-huh.
And then he took in my brother.
So you... Oh, I didn't know you had a brother.
Yes, he's in New Jersey now.
Oh, okay. So you find something new all right. the time. So is he still in the plastics business, your brother?
No, he's retired.
He retired?
He's retired. He's disabled.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Arthritis, very bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be flip about it.
That's okay.
That's it. Okay.
They did very well in the plastic business.
What? Better than the produce business?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. What happened to the other partners of Sam?
Dudley Black has died.
Yeah.
Sam Riss?
He's gone. But I mean, after that you sold the business, did they all retire, or did they go into other phases of the business, or what?
I think they all retired.
Mm-hmm. Did Sam Riss go into the insurance business at one time?
That was his brother, I think.
That was another?
Brother.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. Okay. I guess, you know, unless there's something else that you want to add, what I'm doing really is corroborating a lot of things that we do know, where people have told us things. And I don't take just one person's word for anything. I like to find out if I can corroborate
with
somebody
else. Did I verify anything?
Yes, you did. Okay. And you added to our knowledge of what it was like. It's not mine. All right.
All right. Ironically, going into the Tucket store on Exchange Street to work, we had to go in by trolley. There were no buses at that time.
So you took the trolley from?
Elmwood Avenue.
That's down, where you lived.
Right. Down to Exchange Place.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took another trolley to Pawtucket.
To Pawtucket. Right. So that for you to go to work, and you worked on weekends, I take it.
Right.
You were in school during the day?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work after school?
No.
Just weekends and holidays?
Right.
Okay. For your 25 cents?
I was into music at that time.
Uh-huh. What took you out of music?
The Navy.
Oh, okay.
It was wartime at that time.
Yes, it was. When did you go into the Navy, Paul?
1945.
In 1945, after you graduated from high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
so what time did you get up in the morning to get to work?
Oh, 6 o'clock.
About 6 o'clock?
I still get up at that time.
It's the shank of the evening. I'm just turning over. God. How long did it take you to get from your house to the store?
About an hour.
It took about an hour between the trolleys and so forth and so on. And then an hour home.
That's right.
So that if you got there at 7, that's probably when they opened or started stocking the store to open at 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You were in downtown Pawtucket.
Right.
What was downtown Pawtucket like?
Downtown Pawtucket at that time wasn't that lively either. It was livelier then than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's dead now. But they had a corner lot opposite the police and fire station. And they did a lot of business.
Oh, then you were on the outskirts of downtown, really. Away from the furniture stores that lined East Avenue.
There was a used furniture store right next to United Public.
Yeah? Do you know whose?
No, they were selling stoves and refrigerators.
Mm-hmm.
It was a junk shop.
There are a few of those around. Okay, who else worked with you?
There was a man by the name of Archie. He was on the meat department.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Bograd. He was in charge of the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a woman. I'd like to get her name. Bob Clark, the electrician. He's passed away. Was his wife.
Okay, Mrs. Clark worked there as...
bookkeeper.
As the bookkeeper. Okay, now suppose I came into your store and I wanted to buy a half a dozen items.
Mm-hmm.
What would I do? Walk me through it as if I were a customer.
Walk into the store.
Okay, how big was the store?
Oh,
very big?
Very big.
Where were the shelves?
There were no shelves. Everything was on tables.
It was on tables?
Tables.
There were no shelves against the wall?
No.
Okay, even the canned goods were on the table?
Mm.
Or they were in aisles?
They were in aisles.
Uh-huh. Okay, please continue.
You come in, the first thing you hit is the office, coming in the sideway.
Mm-hmm.
Then you hit the tobacco department.
Mm-hmm.
That's the... alleyway to get in. And then to the left was the cashiers and the grocery department. And to the right they had a fountain and the meat and the vegetables.
Okay, was it self-service?
Yes.
It was self-service.
Except for the tobacco department.
So that even in 1943, you were on the supermarket idea.
Yeah.
Because many of the other stores, not sure, I think Weibas of Pure Food, you had to be helped. I know the A&Ps, you had to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
But you had somebody, you don't know whose idea it was.
Well, there was people on the meat department.
Yeah, but you didn't pay at the meat department. You paid to a cashier.
The grocery department, when you walked out of there, you paid.
Yeah.
Okay. The meat department, you paid when you got your
Uh-huh.
Okay? And the vegetables, you can walk through the department, and when your order was done, you pay the cashier.
Okay. Now, who put up the order?
They had carts. You go and get all your groceries, put them into the carriage, I should say, and then bring them to the cashier.
Okay. I'm trying to, you know, I'm asking simple questions because I want to get it out. Mm-hmm. The thing is that in many stores, even the larger ones, you came in and you told the clerk what it was that you wanted, who mm-hmm. filled your order for you, and then you paid the cashier and then went back and got your order. It wasn't that way. Then yours was really on the supermarket idea.
The starting on the supermarket idea, yes.
Okay. And the big chief was that way too?
The big chief, again, all we had was the
groceries
department.
Okay.
So you did all your shopping and then
the cashier that was for your department.
Yes.
And then you could go to the other departments.
Correct.
Each department had its own cashiers.
Right.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. That's what I was getting at. So that he did have, your father, your uncle, and his two partners had some rather advanced ideas for the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1940s. Uh-huh. Anything else you wanted to, that you remember specifically or non-specifically? You didn't wait on customers at all, did
no.
you? No one waited on customers. They helped themselves, except for the meat or something.
Or the fountain.
Or the fountain, yes.
I was in the grocery department.
Yeah, okay, so they picked their own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did your father do any of the produce buying at all?
No.
That was, who did that? Wasn't Sam either.
No, they had a buyer. Oh, Joe Marola.
Was the buyer.
Was the buyer.
I remember Joe.
You remember Joe?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I haven't used that name in years.
So he was the buyer, and he would go down and buy for all the stores?
All the stores, right.
So how did Trudell fit in?
Tell the truth, I don't remember Trudell there at all.
Because he said that he worked for Big Chief also.
Yeah, but
in the produce department.
Yeah, but we had nothing to do with the
produce. Yeah, and he used to work with Marola, who bought for United Public. That was it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that straightening it out in my own mind. So that Joe Marola was your buyer and he would take care of all the four stores?
Mm-hmm.
And Maria, you have a call on my date?
And he would be the one who would take care of all of that?
Right.
Okay. And you had nothing to do with that whatsoever?
Mm-hmm. He was a nice man.
Yes, he was.
Ironically, I went into business with his brother. Back in 50, he was an attorney.
Uh-huh. And oh, yeah. Temkin Marola?
No, it's
different. It's another one?
Yeah. And we shared offices in Pawtucket, Fleet Bank.
Really?
Yeah.
And my father-in-law went into business with Joe for a while.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah. When he first opened the place in Seekonk. Okay. Your father came to this country when?
Can't answer that.
Well, who was the firstborn in your family? Your sister.
No, I was the first.
You're the firstborn.
I'm the
You're the oldest?
Born.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. So let me see. He had to have been here in this country. You weren't born in Europe.
No, I was born here.
You were born here.
Right.
Was he married here or married in Europe?
Married here.
Married here. So let me see. You are more than 65, that I know.
41.
So I would suggest
I'm,
he...
I'm 70.
I would suggest that he kind of were the same age. Not quite there, but...
All right.
Then I would suggest that he came in early in the 1920s or 1924, 25.
Somewhere around
someplace
there.
Around in there.
Right.
From?
Russia.
From Russia? You don't know where?
I think it's somewhere around Smolensk.
Okay. And your mother was born?
Here.
Here, in this country.
In London.
So she was an American.
Yes.
When they met. That was very important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What education did he have?
High school.
High school in Europe. Mm-hmm. He went to the gymnasium, as it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then he came here and became a barber?
Became a barber, right.
He wasn't a barber in the old country?
No.
Okay. So he apprenticed here. He met your mother
mm-hmm.
in New London. Did he come originally to Rhode Island or to New London?
I think here.
He came to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Someone arranged for him to meet your mother. I don't mean it was an arranged
no.
marriage, but, you know, somehow or other they met.
Mm-hmm.
No, usually it was a relative, a friend, said, I want you to meet so-and-so. That's what I mean.
Around, I can't.
Yeah, you can't answer that. Oh, dear, dear, dear. And he opened a shop here?
Right after they got married, he went into business with my grandfather.
On your mother's side?
Father's side.
On your father's side.
He
oh,
was a baker, Brody's Bakery on,
was it on
Douglas
Avenue.
Right.
Yeah. That was your grandfather's business.
Right.
His name was Bigney, though.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that, oh, your father's whole family had come over then.
Yes.
Your grandmother, grandfather.
Mm-hmm. And my uncle, he went to New York.
And you had an uncle who went to New York.
Right.
So your father came, he was a barber, and then he went into business with your... grandfather, who was a baker.
I think it was just the reverse. He started working for my grandfather.
He was started working for your grandfather.
Then he left that and became a barber, then went into the United Public.
And then he went into United Public.
Right.
Okay. Did he do much baking at home afterwards, or none?
None.
Wanted nothing to do with it, nothing to do with it whatsoever. Okay. So that he, now, when he came here, he didn't go to school in this country, did he?
I don't think so.
So that he had to teach himself the language
mm-hmm.
and teach himself American ways. I assume he went to Americanization classes.
Yes.
You have no record of his schooling, do you?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting how little record we have of many people. And then he went into United Public.
Right.
Okay. Sam Shore was related to you how?
My mother and his wife were sisters.
Okay. So that they were brothers-in-law.
Right.
And Sam started the business and then took your father in. Okay. And Sam started as a peddler.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, he worked for Weibasa Pure Food. That we know. That we will verify. Okay. Who else was in the produce business or the food business at that time that you remember? If you were aware of it at all, or you heard your father talking. I mean, they were a fairly clannish lot. They stayed, you know, within the same orbit.
Well, Shaw used to live next door to me on Ruskin Street in those days.
That was Sam?
No, I think it was Joe. He ran the Weibasa Pure Food.
Was
down across from the outlet.
Oh, the Market Basket.
Oh, the Market Basket, right.
Was that Joe or was that...
there was some Shore, I'm not sure.
It was a Shore. Okay, from the Market Basket Shore lived next door to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there was this Rodman I talked about before.
Yeah, that's...
He was in the Big Bear, American Super.
Uh-huh.
Oil Square.
Yeah.
And, that's about it.
Okay. Jack Shore?
Jack Show was in it temporarily, but didn't he go into the finance business afterwards?
No, I don't know whether he did. He may have. I know he was very badly hurt. Mm-hmm. He was burned very badly. There was an explosion at the store.
Well, it wasn't very bad.
Yeah.
But there was some show that went into the finance business.
That was Al.
Al Shrew?
Yeah, that was Sam's son, Al, who had a finance business.
No, no. Al was in the United Public.
But one of them, I thought he went into the finance business afterwards.
He moved to Florida.
Before he moved to Florida.
I'm not familiar with that.
The oldest Shore son. There's one who married Marty Mondo, the daughter.
That's Sam's brother's son. That's who you're talking about.
Well, the one who married Marty Mondlik, isn't that
that's
Sam's?
Ruth.
That's Ruthie.
That's Ruthie.
Yeah. And then there was Harold.
Yeah.
And then there was an Al, wasn't there?
No. That's Sam's brother's son.
Oh, okay. So it's just Harold and Ruthie? Those are the only two children?
Harold, Ruthie, and Al.
And there was an Al?
There was an Al.
And he was in United Public?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's in Florida right now.
And he's in Florida, and he's in the finance business down there, isn't he?
I don't know what he's doing.
Uh-huh. Okay. Very complicated.